When you woke up here this morning and the snow was gently falling soft and slow, and the icicles were forming and reflecting all the colors of the snow, and the radio was playing that old song from California, and you could see the yellow sunset on the beach. You don't know why it always seemed so out of reach, so far away. Perhaps some distant sunny day you'll get the nerve to pack your bags and you'll be gone. Oh, you'll be gone. They say that time just has this way of moving faster every day. One day you'll wake to find you've barely walked a mile. When you walked out of my doorway, you could barely help but let the weather in. And your mind was running circles around the worlds you'd love to see but never been. But if your mind is off a wandering boy, your feet are bound to follow on their own. You don't know why you always feel so all alone, so far away. Perhaps today's that distant day you'll get the nerve to pack your bags and you'll be gone. They say that time just has this way of moving faster every day. One day you'll wake to find you've barely walked a mile.
California by Steph Cameron, a Roots singer-songwriter from Saskatoon who has released two brilliant records to great reviews and is signed by the Pheromone Recordings label. I spoke with Steph over Skype. Steph, thank you so much for joining me for Indie Beat.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your early musical history. Have you been making music since you were a child, or did you come to it a little later in life?
Well, I have always been singing ever since I was very, very little. And I used to sing with my grandmother and my auntie and spend a lot of time harmonizing, the three of us. And then I was in choir when I was really, really young. I always loved to sing, and so my mom always really nurtured that in me. And then when I was about 12, I picked up a guitar and started playing then, and then I started busking at 14. So it's always been a really big part of my life.
Can you think of one particular album that was life-changing for you from the first time you heard it?
You know what's really interesting, and it's something that most people probably maybe wouldn't associate with my music, but when I was young, quite young, Jewel put out an album called Pieces of You, and it was just so inspiring to me, and it actually caused me to pick up the guitar and start playing it. And I was really inspired by her story of traveling around in a van and touring like that, just kind of her on her own. And that was a really big inspiration for me when I was young.
Do you have a favorite or an especially beloved guitar?
Oh, I do. I have a couple guitars. I have one guitar that I bring around the campfire because I don't like bringing my fancy guitars around all the fire and onto the beach and all that. But I like my campfire guitar. It's an Art Luthery. But I have a Larrivée that my stepfather is an incredible gift. I never really had good guitars. You know, I always kind of had these guitars that I would travel around with all over the place. They'd kind of get banged and busted up, and they were starting to, you know, they wouldn't stay in tune and all that. And so as a really incredible gift, when I got the record deal from Pheromone Recordings in 2013, he gave me the gift of this beautiful Larrivée guitar. And it sounds so bright, and it's a real folk guitar, but it's got a really nice bass and a really nice sound. And so that's the guitar that I prefer to play on stage.
How do you normally approach your songwriting? Do your lyrics tend to inspire your music, or does it more often work the other way around?
Well, I often say that the songs, for me, seem to, it's like they already exist somewhere in the space above my head. And when I'm writing a song, it's like I'm pulling down these little threads, and sometimes they all come tumbling down at once. You know, every part of the song, the concepts, the melody, the guitar and the lyrics. But then sometimes I'm pulling them down piece by piece, and it's just a little bit random how they get pulled down. Like I tend to see, like I have this thing where I tend to see music. Like, so when I'm coming up with a concept for songs, I actually see different colors, you know, kind of in the space above my head, I guess you could say. Sounds a bit bizarre, but I often see songs and sounds in terms of color. So it's just about kind of pulling those colors together. It's almost like painting, although I don't paint and I'm not a very visual artist. But so it's just kind of about arranging the colors, really, for me. I think it's a form of synesthesia.
You released your debut full-length album, Sad Eyed Lonesome Lady, in 2014, and your sophomore album, Daybreak Over Jackson Street, last year. Is there a theme to the songs on that record?
Well, when I was writing Daybreak Over Jackson Street, I was living in the West Kootenays in a little trailer, well, between a trailer and a tiny little cabin I built in the woods, and I was really, really reflecting on my time in East Vancouver. So a lot of the songs that kind of have a bit of a country folk feel, and they can really sort of describe the country landscape of the West Kootenays. But there's a lot of reflection on my time in the city, and particularly in my time in the downtown east side of Vancouver.
Do you feel that your sound evolved? I know you have some new music in the work, some new evolutions on the way, but do you feel there was an evolution between your debut album and the sophomore one?
Yeah, I think that the first album, Sad Eyed Lonesome Lady, was very, very, very folk. And it did have some influence from some blues. The second album was a lot more country folk and a lot more inspired by the sounds of artists like John Prine. Whereas the first album, I was listening to a lot of Doc Watson and that type of music, Michelle Schacht. But the more that I wrote, the more of the country folk kind of came out of me. And now that I'm working on album number three, I'm starting to work with other musicians for the first time. And I'm finding that working with other artists is a real joy. And so it's really wonderful getting together with them because their influences, you know, sort of, I take them on as well. And I'm finding that a lot of the music that I'm writing now has a lot of a bit of a rock and roll influence. Like I'm really listening to a lot of Stevie Nicks and that kind of music. So that's kind of coming through on the third album.
Looking forward to hearing that. Your record label, Pheromone Recordings, released a great live video of your song, That's What Love Is. What can you tell me about that song?
Oh, that song. That song is almost written from the perspective of... There's this part in the song where it's the perspective of an empty room, sort of waiting for someone to come into the room to walk on the floor and to look around at the walls and all its content and really give the room meaning. And when I wrote that song, you know, I was in a little bit of a dark place and I was in my trailer in the West Kootenays in the middle of the forest and feeling quite sad. And that's kind of how I felt that my heart was feeling, was I was just waiting for some love to come into my heart and give my heart, you know, some meaning.
Whispering breeze through the poplar trees, breathing a sigh for the birds in the sky. A child's balloon on its way past the moon, distant, lonely, that's what love is. Western hills and lighted lamps in the windowsills. I sit alone at the kitchen chair, smoking, drinking, that's what love is. Door. The creak of your boots on the wooden floor. Only the dreams of an empty room, waiting, wanting, that's what love is. Coyotes call, the dogs whimper and the leaves fall. There is an echo from the trailer door, fierce and hungry, that's what love.